ascending with ease. Now every one of you know what it means to ascend. Don't you? What does it mean to ascend? Does it mean that you remain exactly where you are? Or does it mean that you have a new vision? Now we heard about the eagle, and we heard how the eagle soars. And the eagle has a vision that's broader than anything that we can experience ourselves from this point of view. And we say, wow, wouldn't it be great to see everything like the eagle sees it? To look beyond all of the appearances. You know? Stop and think about it once. If you're an eagle, do you see the dust in the corner? If you're an eagle, do you see all the little imperfections of earth? If you're an eagle, you see the broad scope of things. You see the beauty of all. Oh, true, you see your dinner out there, which is the right thing for you to see. I mean, we go into the grocery store and we buy our steaks or we buy our vegetarian meals, whatever sort of things is our choice. And we eat that, and we don't think anything about that. But think about this also. You're an eagle, and you go into the grocery store. How about that? That's what you're doing up in the sky. You're in the grocery store. And so you go in the grocery store. Do you, if you're a vegetarian, pay any attention to the meat counter? If you are a person who has a good diet in mind for yourself, do you pay any attention to those foods that you would recommend that are not beneficial to you? No. When we want to walk in the path of our ascension, we pay attention only to those things that are beneficial to us to accomplish what we want to accomplish. Now, what is it you want to accomplish as far as ascending goes? Our song this morning was Within. Within. All that is within. Now, are you going to ascend without, or are you going to ascend within? Good question. Think about this. Your ascension, and everybody talks about ascending, we're going to take off for heaven, wherever that is, we're going to take off to this outer realm, this outer life, this outer world. Have fun. Get a rocket, you know. You can go farther than the airplanes can go, farther than the seagull and the eagle can go. But is that where it's at? It's right inside of you and me. If you look at the course of miracles at all, it keeps saying, hey, don't pay attention to that outer, pay attention to the inner. Come on home, come on home, come on home, come on home, you know? And we always want to go outer. When you are peaceful, when you are at peace in yourself, are you in a state of ascension? When you are in love with yourself, are you in a state of ascension? You surely are. Randy tells us, you're all ascenders. We're all ascenders. This is a church of ascenders. Fellowship of Spirit, the fellowship of ascenders. Of spiritual ascenders. Beautiful, beautiful. Now, where do we have anything that tells us that what we're doing is correct? Well, I make fun of the Bible oftentimes because the Bible is something to be made fun of. If the Bible is supposed to be so serious that we say, oh dear, oh dear, oh dear, pray, you're missing the point. Jesus was a prankster. He spoke in parables, and he spoke in stories, and he spoke in ways that people would believe. And he says, go to the Father. Go to the Father. And then, he said, the Father's within. Seek ye low here or there. Luke 17:22. But God is within every being. So if God is within us, if this is where our heaven is, the kingdom of heaven is within. The Bible tells us this again and again and again, and constantly we're looking outwardly. We're saying, oh God, help me, you know, the prayerful hands which are so beautifully painted, but it's so wrongly painted. It should be, God, I am ready. I'm ready to be all that I'm able to be. All that I'm able to be. A song this morning also in the book. It said, we want to be all that we can be. We want to be all that we can be, but we cannot be all that we can be unless we let it out. And all of us, I'm covering my face right now, so people who hear us on tape know that I'm covering my face. Yeah, I don't want you to see my face. All of us who watch television are a devilment to the world. Yes. Because we continue to empower all the things that come to us on television. So, that's your wife, right? Tomorrow's your wife? Is she a lovely lady? Is she something very special, very beautiful? Do you treasure her? Would you ever cause her to walk in the path of, let's use the word iniquity, would you ever use her to walk in the path of unhappiness? Would you take her down to the slaughter yards and say, tomorrow, here's what they're doing. Here's how they're preparing the meat for tomorrow. And they're killing these cows and they're doing all these things that they do. And would you do that to her?
Not unless she wanted it.
Not unless she wanted it. Well, I'm sure she wouldn't. It is not the beauty. We do not need to go through all of the processes for finding our spiritual growth. What we do is to leave behind all those pathways. When I was a child, I thought like a child. Now I'm an adult, I think like an adult. We must become as little children to enter the kingdom of heaven. We must become as little children. Because kids do not look at all these things. Kids only see what they want to see. And kids only hear what they want to hear. Ask any mother. John, here, come in here. I didn't hear you, Mom. You know? But the thing is, we want to learn to let out all the beauty that's within us. And if we pack our inner self with garbage, with things that we don't believe in, then we are going to have to get rid of that first, let that go, before the goodness that we have compacted down below it is going to be able to get out. Now, each one of you is a center of perfect peace. Each one of you is an ascended master. How do I know that? Because I am an ascended master, and I can only see another ascended master. You say, well, don't you think you're pretty good, Herb? Don't you think? No, I don't. I have so much more to be. I have so much more that I'm going to express and to demonstrate in my life. I have just begun. And I tell you, it's easy. It's easy because I am blind. I am blind to all that might be around me, contrary to what I believe. I can only see another master. And you have permission to only see another master. Or you have permission to see all of those people struggling to become aware that they are a master. Struggling to be aware that they have already ascended. And they're trying to do it from down here. And when John said to Jonathan Livingston Seagull, remember? He said, but John, you can't teach them where heaven is when they can't even see 10 feet in front of their eyes. And John says, well, I can see where heaven is. Therefore, I can teach them where heaven is. Because I can be the living example of where heaven is. Can you? Oh, you sure can. Can you be the living example of where heaven is? And yes, you can. You surely can. Because you are. You are the living example of where heaven is because you are God. You are God. Jesus used these words himself. You are God. You are God. I am God. God I am. I went to Nigeria to speak to the churches in Nigeria and share with them ideas. And I was going to teach them, I am God, God I am. And I had that as a subtle part of my program. But when I arrived in Nigeria, in all the cities in Nigeria that I was going to be speaking, they had a banner across the entire street. And I said, I am God, God I am. Dr. Barley's going to show us all about it. And I thought, boy, they have a lynch mob for me. Sort of sacrilegious and so forth. But no. They were ready. Because they believed that all people who are living not in Nigeria know what it is to be God. But I had a rude awakening. Rude, because I was feeling that the people in Nigeria would surely all want to come and live in America, you know. And so, I had a number of my students who are very excellent in Nigeria. And I said to them, I said, now, would you like to come and live in America? Oh, no, no. I love my country. I love Nigeria. I love this place where I was. I want to... And she couldn't wait to get home. She could not wait to get home to her husband and her family. And, you know, we have the idea that the Nigerian people do not have the opportunity that many people in other countries have. We call them a third world. Well, this woman... Her husband is a doctor of pharmacology, and she has several degrees herself in pharmacology, and she worked in the places that he did too, in universities. Her daughter went to, she was born in London, and of course lived in Nigeria and then back in London. Her daughter wanted to become a teacher, that she wanted to become a banker. She wanted to become a banker, so she took banking. And she became a banker, and she was good, but it didn't excite her. And she says, I want to become a mathematician. Here she is, now she has a baby, she's raising all by herself. The husband didn't turn out to be too cool. And so she's raising this kid all by herself, and she has a house in London. And she says, I want to become a mathematician. I want to teach math, because math is the absolute science that teaches about the universal presence of everything and how divine... And she took a course in math, which was a course designed to train teachers in mathematics, but she didn't have time to go to all the classes. So she took all the books home and read them, studied them, and within about a 4-month period, she went in to take the examination for this being a mathematician. This is in England, in London, England. She was the second top of her class for the entire year, or now what would you call it, semester of mathematician studies, and naturally she became a math teacher. Now that's the daughter. Now the son studied medicine. He went to London and he studied medicine, and in about 2 years, he did the courses that were required to become a medical doctor as a medical doctor. And then I was in London, and I was speaking at some hospitals in London, and his aunt was the director of the nurses in the hospital, and she invited me to speak there. And he was sitting off at the side of the group, listening to my talk. And I was talking about the mind having areas that we have never touched, that we have never illumined, that we have never opened. And that this is what medicine should be all about, opening the mind of the individual to their wholeness, to their reality, to their universality, to their reality, what they are now. And I was very, very expressive of it. And he came to me afterwards and he says, Herb, I'm going to become a psychiatrist. So what did he do? He took the complete course in psychiatry in 2 months. He's magic boy. Topped the class, got top grades in everything he did, and then his visa ran out, and he had to go back to Nigeria. And he said, "Oh, but I want to be back there." And I said, "Well, place is in mind that you are back there." I said, "Your mind is the power, and you've learned all about that." Well, in 2 months he was back. He shouldn't have been. It should not have happened. But he was back. You see, they're learning how to put these things in motion. My point being in all that I'm saying here, we look at the Nigerians and we think they're a third world country with a limited education. They're brilliant. They're brilliant. But they're brilliant in another way. They instantly accept these things as truths and follow through on it. They have to be careful what they put in their consciousness. They can't put into their consciousness thoughts that there is not peace on earth. In fact, you sing this every Sunday, that someday there will be peace on earth, and you'd like it to be, you know, and you would like it to work it out, and that's nice. Okay, someday, well, he says now. I went to Nigeria again, as I told you last time, and I had them sing, "I bless Nigeria, land that I love. I stand beside her and guide her through the night with the light from within," and so forth. I bless Nigeria. I taught them that song, which is, God bless America. And one of my children said, no, I bless America. I'm God. So, I bless America, land that I love. And so, I bless Nigeria, land that I love. And you see, they sang it and they believed it. And they're changing their nation. Their nation has crawled out of the degradation that they had into the wholeness that they are by blessing themselves. You can enter into your ascension awareness by claiming the truth about yourself. You can't have it if you don't claim it. You can't have it if you don't claim it. Randy and Susan claimed the truth about their new buildings, their new projects, and doom, 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 they happen. Sometimes faster than they planned. But they happened. Now, what was going on when they happened? They claimed it. They named it. They claimed it. Now, what is it that is going to help you ascend? I have a few little notes here, and I want to share some of the thoughts from them with you because I think they're kind of current. If any of you read Fortune magazine, in this month's issue of Fortune magazine, some fascinating articles. One about physician, fool thyself. Physician, fool thyself. And it talks about placebos. And it says that work has been done on placebos, and this work that's been done on placebos, if you know what a placebo is, it's a sugar pill, and it's not the real pill, that they have always done research, and they had a placebo against the actual medicine to see which one was healing better, whether it was the placebo or the medicine. And so they have done a different test. They have a placebo and a placebo. Two placebos to see which one really works. And it was amazing. The placebos worked. And the one with acupuncture, that did not penetrate the skin, it was a sham, it was a game, people thought, wow, that's the one that really worked for me. Oh, that's so fantastic and great. And you see, it's just all in the mind. So here we go. There's an article here also in the Discovery magazine, which is for this month too, and it talks about the stem cell. You know what the stem cell is? Well, this Japanese geneticist discovered a cocktail to stimulate the development of the stem cells in adults needing their presence. working with mice, he found when cells were forced to fuse with stem cells, occasionally one of the adult cells reprograms itself and regresses back to its undifferentiated state. I know you're understanding everything I'm saying just as I'm writing it, reading off here. Okay. By studying the chemical signals released by the cells when they undergo this transformation, he has managed to concoct a cocktail of four chemicals that provide the same conversion. Acknowledge it is not yet perfect. It only works in a small percentage of cases, but it works. If it works as projected, doctors may be able to grow stem cells for adult cell patients needing treatment, and researchers already admit that transplanting ready-made embryonic stem cells back into people provides cures of huge ranges of diseases, from diabetes to paralysis to Alzheimer's, and no problems with ethics. Now, what am I saying by this here? I'm saying that stem cells are what is our body. A stem cell is your pure cell. It is your baby cell that you're born with. The undifferentiated cell, if you know what that word means, it has no direction on where it's going to go. It doesn't know if that cell is going to be the brain, or the eyes, or the ears, or the nose, or the fingers. It doesn't know. The cell is an undifferentiated cell in the body of the baby, waiting to be told what it's supposed to be. Waiting to be told. Now, this is what they're planting back into the bodies of human beings. They want to, at least. They're doing it with mice right now. So, here's an undifferentiated cell, a cell that has not yet been told what to do, ready to take away all things which are contrary to its presence. If the cell is put into a body that has disease, the disease is dumped, because the disease no longer has information telling it to be a disease. It only tells it to be perfect. It's fantastic. And if the body is aged, then the cell gets in there and says, "Cool, you're young. You know, you're a young big chicken." And this is true. This is true. This is what really is going on with that. Now, we have the mental capacity within our own minds to do anything that the stem cell does in our body. We can speak to our mind, and we can say to our bodies and to our thinking system and to the world that we live in, "I am whole and perfect." And then we demonstrate that. We can do whatever a stem cell does. A stem cell is nice. A stem cell is like a medicine, you know. It's like a naturopathic medicine or medical medicine or whatever kind you want. But the stem cell does those things. Now, we want to go back to the original concept, our original purity and integrity, which the stem cell aims at. The stem cell gets close to it, but the stem cell itself also has certain input that has been put into it as the mother and child, as the mother and father are preparing to have the child. As they're preparing to have the child, they're telling this child, "Well, I'm going to watch the evening news, you know. Watch all about the killings over here. And watch all about the problems. And that Katarina hurricane, whoa, that really gets really going, man. That's terrible." And this baby that is preparing to be born as a just a little embryo within here is hearing this and gathering this up and feeling this momentum that you are feeling. And it's taking it upon itself. And how silly of us to do that to it. You know, it's like drinking liquor. When you're pregnant, you know, you actually put that into the child too. What a shame to do things like that. Well, we don't have to. I'm not saying any of these things are bad. I'm only saying that if you have taken the privilege of putting together cells to bring forth a new life, even if the life's 6 and 8 years old, if you have taken together this privilege to do this, you better have a clean act. You better have a clean mind and a clean brain and a clean body in which to bring this about. Well, now, if it's good enough for your kid, if it's good enough for your creation, your child, your friends, your relatives, your parents, your world, yourselves, it should be good enough for putting to work for you. Because What do they say in the Bible about Satan? He's a fallen what? Satan's supposed to be a fallen angel, isn't he? A fallen angel. Well, we're all fallen angels when we don't put our attention 100% on our divinity. We are all Satan when we don't put our attention 100% on our divinity. Now, that doesn't mean we're bad. God does not create anything and call it bad. God just said, you're going the wrong direction. You're going the wrong direction. And if that's, you say you want to go in your ascension, then purity is the bill of the day. If you say you want to be a human, then to be a human, then you have human attitudes. You have emotions. You have feelings of sensitivity for your brother. You're your brother's keeper, who Jesus said we're not. And you go out and you want to always help your brother, help your brother, help your brother. My God, I wouldn't want some people helping their brother with the way they help themselves. You know? Really? Really? You know, if missionaries could go to other countries or to areas where they want to be missionaries, and if they could say to the people there, you are beautiful, you are good. You are God's perfect creation of magnificence. Everything you do is wonderful. Everything you do is excellent. You are fantastic. You are glorious. You are the divine. What would happen? Would they need to put clothing on them? Would they need to change their diet? Would they need to take away their immune system? And like the WHO, World Health Organization, went down to a certain country in Africa, and the children had so many diseases in their bodies, and so they gave them antibiotics and what have you to kill them, and they killed all these diseases, but they didn't know. These diseases were their immunity for playing in the water that they played in, and all the children died. All the children died, without exception. Because the World Health Organization, with their loving heart, caringness, took away the immune system, the immunity that the children had to all those things that would destroy them in their world. Yeah. Doesn't that make you think, what direction are we going? You wouldn't call the World Health Organization Satan, but they certainly did a very satanic thing, didn't they? Now, you see, that's what we do. There's an article here that says, physician, fool thyself. And you're going to have the privilege of having parts of it quoted and brought to your attention and stuff like that by your lady of ceremony, Susan, here. And in here, they have a little statement. It says, the physicians further in the future will learn how both active drugs and belief and ritual work inside the brain. The distinction between mind and body will break down, and we'll have a new, improved, unified science of medicine that includes a healthy dose of snake oil, which is belief. Now, they said at one point here, yes, so, scientists who debunk alternative medical treatment should think again about whether it is ethical to destroy a people's belief. And you see, when you believe in your spiritual qualities, when you believe in your divine qualities, when you believe that God in you is the answer, and I won't ask you to raise your hands, but how many of you believe that God in you is the answer? Yeah. You see, God in you is the answer. So now, be aware that God in you is the answer, and let God in you be your director. Let God in you be your tour guide on your ascension. Because He knows the way. The absolute, however we want to term God in us. Because we can't say God in us is a he and we're a she, you know, it doesn't quite fit. We can't say God in us is a he and we're the he. We're the it, we're the all. Think about it. Think about it. Would you like to ascend? Then the way to ascend is to live so perfectly. Do you think they're going to let the astronauts go into outer space unless they have their ascension training program? Really? What do they train these scientists to be, ascension training program? They train them in the spin machines. They train them in vertical. They train them in eating right diets. They train them in strength and health. They train them in mental attitude. They train them, should everything stop, don't panic. Pray. Should everything stop, don't panic. Stop and use your brains. Think there is a way to handle this. And they will. But you see, we want to ascend, and we will not give ourselves as much or less training than the astronaut gives itself in its journey of a physical journey. Yeah, isn't it interesting? Isn't it interesting? Now, if you want to ascend, I suggest you go to school. Inside. Go to school and let the divine in you show you the way. And you know what the answer is going to be? I shouldn't really tell you this because this is a secret. But I'm great at not telling secrets. I tell people, don't come and tell me your problems, because I have no secrets. And I tell everybody what your problems are. Not what your problem is, but about your solution, you know. People come and say, well, Herb, I can't do this, I can't do that. And I say, yes, you can. One woman came to my lecture in New York, and she heard me talk about the energy massage, where I said, if you will take your hands and completely go over your body like this here, and go over it and go over it, not touching your body, just completely... Susan does touching, you know. But you just go over your body, go over your body, go over it with energy. Let the energy of your hands and the energy of your body interact. And say, I'm whole and perfect, 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 I'm whole and perfect. And you will be whole and perfect. I guarantee it, if you'll do it. But we see how many people do it. You got a problem? You go home today and you do the energy massage for yourself and watch what happens. Well, my friend, one of our students from New York, she started taking our course, and all of a sudden she developed a cancer of the breast. And the doctors took pictures of it, and it was not very pleasant. And they said, we're going to have to cut it out. And she said, ah. And so they went home, and her husband says, Pamela, remember what Dr. Barney said? And she said, what? She was just, you know, so out of it to ask the right question. He said, do the energy massage, and whatever illness, whatever unpleasantness is in your body, it will be released because you have brought the energy in balance. And she says, ho, ho, ho. And so immediately she did the energy massage, did it every day for 6 weeks. Then she went in for the operation. They took another test picture of her. There was nothing there. Whatever had been there was no longer there. The energy massage completely cured it, completely released it. She had placed herself in harmony with her divine self. And can you see how wonderful that is? To place yourself in harmony with your divine self. Now, you have that opportunity either by the energy massage or by going within to the teacher within and ask what you will, believing it is done unto you, and it is done. If you attend this afternoon, we'll talk more about these things, and we'll talk more about various ways in which people have used the energy massage and the way people have taken these principles and put them to work and changed their whole life and brought health and wholeness into their life. But right for now, just remember, every one of you is whole and perfect. Every one of you is whole and perfect. Every one of you is whole and perfect right now. Every organ, action, and function of your body is whole and perfect right now. It is exactly what you expect of it. And I say, how old are you? And she says, I'm 25. My, you don't look a year older than 24, you know. And, you know, I'm 25. And you say, well, her, who are you trying to fool? She's, you know, whatever. And I say, I look with my eyes, and I am 25. And you say, Herb, you do have some interesting ideas here. But this is what I do. Now, every morning I walk 3 miles before breakfast up and down around the mountain paths around our campus in the early morning hours, naked. Wonderful. After breakfast, I go out for another 3 mile walk with my dog. I have a golden retriever around the path. And then I go and work at my desk and write and make tapes and put internet talks. We're on the internet all the time. And then before and after supper, I take another 3 mile walk. That's 12 miles a day up and down the mountains. Now, I am 1,285 years old, you know. Now, what am I really? I'm 25, right? Am I 25? So, you are whatever it is you expect of yourself. Now, do I have to take these walks? Do I have some illness that makes me take these walks? Do I have some illness about me that makes me want to be doing these things? No. I do it because I like it. I do it because I enjoy it. Do you do it because you enjoy it? Do you get out and walk? We have one woman on campus who has more pounds than she likes, and we say to her, leave the golf cart alone. Walk, walk, walk. And she doesn't. She takes the golf cart wherever she goes. And she goes, and she does a lot of going. So she goes here and goes there with the golf cart. I say, don't do that. Leave the golf cart alone. You know, get some walking in. And when she walks, she just feels so fantastic. And when she doesn't walk, she just feels like not so fantastic. But you see, practice, practice, practice. You can practice being your divine self. You can practice being the purity and the wholeness and the goodness and the divinity that you are. You can practice living like an ascended master. And what does an ascended master live like? Ascended master sees only another ascended master. Ascended master sees nothing to improve. You look at your wife, your husband, yourself, or the world, and you see nothing to improve. You may want to do something, but it's not to improve it. It's just to enjoy it more. But if you think there's something in the world that needs to be fixed, including in yourself, you got a problem. You have a problem. You work as school custodian, and as you work there as the school engineer, you go around and you see all these different projects. They're just different projects. There's nothing to be improved. You're going in there and you're adjusting the furnaces, you're adjusting the water system, you're adjusting these various things, and you think, I think that I would like to bring more water to this area, so I'm going to put in a larger valve, or I'm going to put in a larger pipe. And you think to yourself, why didn't I do that in the beginning? That doesn't matter, I'm doing it now. And I'm doing it now not because it needs it, but because I think that I'd like to do that. I would like to have a greater flow going to these various areas. Now, what about you? Are you doing all things because it delights you? It thrills you and makes you feel fantastic? Then you're doing it the right way. Listen to the divine within you. And the divine within you says beautiful things. I'm going to close with a little idea that I use quite often, and you probably don't recognize me, but my name is Mr. Candle, and I am a candle, and I go around to the children all over the world, and I sit on their bedside table every evening, and I tell them about the things that I have experienced as I sit on the bedside table of children all over the world. And it goes something like this. Good evening, good evening, good evening. This is Mr. Candle speaking. I'm sitting here on the bedside waiting to tell you a story about what I experienced as I traveled all over the world visiting children everywhere. Well, I went to visit this little boy. His name was Jose, and he lives in Mexico. Well, actually, he lives in New Mexico, yeah. But he lives in New Mexico. He lives in Farmington, in fact. And that brings it right close to home. And he was just a nice young man. And Jose said he was having difficulty. And his mother said, well, son, what are you having difficulty with? Well, Mom, I'm having difficulty with ascending. Jose, you're ascending? What do you mean by ascending, Jose? And Jose said, Mom, ascending is where I know who I am and I am who I am. Jose, that's kind of big thinking for a little boy. How old are you now? You're 8? My goodness, for an 8-year-old to think those thoughts, that's pretty big. Mom, this is what you tell me all the time. Oh, excuse me, that's right, Jose. I'm sorry, I sometimes forget myself. I don't realize that you're listening when I talk. Mom, I'm always listening when you talk. I'm always listening. Mom, it sounds so fascinating when you talk about ascending. How do I ascend, Mom? How do I know who I am and live who I am and be who I am? Well, Jose's mother said, Jose, here's what you do. You always do what makes you feel good. But Mom, if I always did what I feel good about, you might not like that. You might not agree with me. You might think that I'm being a bad boy. Jose, you couldn't be a bad boy. Because you are always thinking beautiful thoughts. You are my son. And you do not have the capacity to think anything but beautiful thoughts. Well, Mom, sometimes you say, Jose, think about it. That's right, I say that. Because I know that you can think beautiful thoughts. But, Mom, if I'm going to think beautiful thoughts, I might, you know, think a thought that's too big for me sometimes. No, Jose, you can never think a thought that's too big for you. But to ascend? You know what I think that means, Mom? Well, Jose, let's hear what you think it means. And so, with a smile on her face, she listened as Jose said, Mom, to ascend means that I am my original purity and integrity, and I am fully expressing my divine self. Wow. Wow, Jose, you do listen when I talk, don't you? Do you know what your original purity and integrity is, Jose? Yeah, Mom. That's how God as me decided I am going to be when I was born. Very interesting, Jose. Very interesting. How God, as you, decided you were going to be when you were born, how you were going to live in this body. That's great. Now, Jose, how do you have ascending come into that? I mean, you know, you're in your physical body. Well, Mom, my physical body is not physical. My physical body is a spiritual idea. My physical body is a spiritual idea, and I float with my physical body and my spiritual idea. And Mom, you talk about angels sometimes, but do you know what an angel is, Mom? And his mother said, well, I think I do. You tell me. So Jose said, Mom, an angel is my most beautiful thoughts being lived in me all the time. What do you mean by that, Jose? Your most beautiful thoughts being lived in you all the time. Well, Mom, whenever I am always a good boy, whenever I am always happy, whenever I look around the world and I see everything good and beautiful, then I'm living it. Oh, Jose, you give me goosebumps. You're so wonderful. Yeah, Mom, you're a good teacher. Yes, Jose, and you're a good listener. Hey, boys and girls, there comes Mr. Sandman. You see, he's coming right through the door now. He's got his bag of pixie dust. He's going to sprinkle that pixie dust all over you, and you're going to go to sleep and have happy dreams. Now, what dreams are you going to have tonight? I'm going to have dreams of being an angel. Well, now, that's a good idea. Okay, now, grab your mommy and your daddy and give them a big snuggle and huggle and a big kiss and say, I love you, I love you, I love you. And pop into bed now, under the covers, take your teddy bear. You're not too old for a teddy bear, too young for a teddy bear. Grab the teddy bear and say, I love you, I love you. And then snuggle down. Be careful, mommy. You got to hurry because here comes Mr. Sandman. And he sprinkles the sand, the pixie dust, all over you. Now, happy dreams. And remember, I love you. I love you. I love you. Thank you.